share some more of the scriptures. I gave you a little summary of this Sunday morning. I told you I didn't know whether I'd get to preach it or not. Well, I'm going to. Amen. I'm going to get to preach and share some more scripture with us tonight. The most important thing, church, for you and I is to be ready. You and I must be ready. Hallelujah. For whatever the Lord wants to do. We've got to be ready. Preparations got to be made. We've got to be ready. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, I want to read this portion of Scripture again to us tonight. And try to share with us this message tonight, ready and assembly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. I don't know what that little phrase means to you. And so much more. As you see the day approaching. I want to go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19, and all the way down through verse number 27 here tonight, circling around this portion of Scripture we've read for our text. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. The promises. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful but promised. There's those promises again. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Wow. Ready. Ready and assembled. So much more as you see the day approaching. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? A statement made by Jesus Christ at the end of his story of the persistent widow, the persistent lady that kept coming back to the judge until she got the request. And Jesus Christ letting the disciples know, how much more will God answer your prayer, move on your need, move on your behalf, hear your cry. But then he makes a statement, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? As you see the day approaching, this is what you're going to begin to see and perceive, is a lack of faith, a lack of truth. There's a famine of truth among the church world. That's what Jesus was talking about. And there's not really a reason for it, because we have access to the throne room of God. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we can ask and we can receive, we can seek, we can find, we can knock, the door shall be open. The precious promises we've already been talking about, of what God has promised to us. We've got all things going for us, yet truth in us. That's what we've got to consider. That's what we've got to look at. That's what we've got to perceive. We've got to understand. And we've got to press forward because we are seeing things happen. And we know Christ is coming soon. The day is approaching. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That lets me know people want to deceive you. People want to deceive me. There's those out there that want to deceive. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, that the son of perdition. So now, once again, Paul's talking about there's going to be a falling away. You see, it's evident to this pastor when Paul wrote Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, and he said, as ye see the day approaching, that you and I would be able to see the day approaching. And knowing the coming of the Lord is at hand, that we've got to shape ourselves. We've just got to make it happen, church. We've got to make it happen in our lives personally to be the most spiritual we've ever been before, not looking for an easy way out. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. Says this, know also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As you see the day approaching, as we see things happening in America, it's not just everywhere else anymore. It's in America. We're seeing it happen in America. We're seeing these things transpiring. This is becoming the attitude, the mind frame of the multitudes of America, even within, once again, the church. We see the day approaching. Matthew 24, verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Once again, there's the admonition about being deceived. That lets me know it's possible for you and I to be deceived. It's possible. In other words, if we are not paying attention and we are not pressing ourselves into the presence of God and not pressing ourselves into the Word of God and not pressing ourselves into the power of God, then we will find ourselves under attack of deception. Lying spirits are everywhere. And so Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For a long time, I personally thought this scripture was talking about someone standing up and saying, I am the Christ. That's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about the many that shall come and say, I believe Jesus is the Christ. But still yet don't live for it and receive it. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about. He's not talking about a false Christ. He's talking about deceivers that come in his name but do not follow him and do not know him and lead others astray away from him. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to the afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, it is again, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. As you see the day approaching. As we realize Jesus is about to return. As we realize judgment is coming. Then here's the rest of the story. I've got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But the only way that I'm going to be ready for the coming of the Lord is if I forsake not the assembly of ourselves today. Being in the house of God, being in the presence of God, being in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 2. These scriptures are going to depict what happens when I'm in the house of God, what happens when I'm assembled with the saints, what happens when God is assembled with the saints. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit of God, or as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where were they at? They were in one mind, one accord, one place. Assembled together. And that's when the Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all to that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Verse 31, Acts chapter 4, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's what happens when you're assembled together. That's what church is supposed to be like. That's what church is going to bring forth into our lives. Hallelujah. As we assemble ourselves together and begin to allow the Spirit of God to direct our paths and lead our paths and let Him have His way in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, then we will see, and God will shape the place as He's been doing, that we can go forth and share Christ boldly. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why we assemble ourselves together. The strength, the power, the oneness, the unity. Hallelujah. Colossians 4:16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. This is what happens when you're assembled. God's word is read. God's word is preached. God's word washes over your soul. God's word renews your mind. God's word gets you back in the right mind frame, the right attitude, the right desires. Hallelujah. You absent yourself from God's word, you will find yourself stumbling, falling, and temptations will become stronger, and you won't have what it takes to overcome, because you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. What is the word of your testimony? It's God's word. It's God's word. Your word in you that has come from God, your testimony is what God's done in you. That means the word's in you. Or you wouldn't have a testimony at all. And so we see that that's what happens when we're assembled together. This is why the admonition has come in that last day, because there's going to be so much deception going on. So much coming against your mind. So much pressing you or calling of you things of your time and your mind and occupying you to pull you away what's most important. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His will being done in our lives. Hallelujah. That's why we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I've never yet seen anyone strong spiritually who will not be faithful to the house of God. I have not yet seen one. Not here in America, where we have the freedom and the liberty to gather together. It'd be a total different story if it was against the law for us to gather here tonight. Guess what? We'd probably be back gathering somewhere. Woo! Even if it was against the law, Brother Price, we'd be gathering somewhere. We may have to do it in secret. We may have to hide somewhere. We may have to go to the woods, the back pasture, and have church there. We'll find out who's really serious about serving God when you got to have church in the back pasture. We've had church services in the back pasture. We have. Hallelujah. I mean, we used to take hay rides back into the back of my dad's property, and you really couldn't get where we went unless you took a tractor and a trailer. And we'd have devotions and services back there. We'd have skits. Wow. Yeah. Thankful for what God's done here. We don't have to have this. Have church. We don't have to have this to assemble ourselves together and the power of God move. But we're thankful that it's here and we get the word of God when we're here. Hallelujah. And you know, it's just kind of a known thing and a studied thing. Out of the 45 minutes that a preacher may preach, not telling us who might preach that long. Out of that hour that some of us preach, you might possibly remember 10 minutes of it. Possibly. Just depends on how attentive you were when it was going on. Yeah. And that's why we've got to keep gathering ourselves together. Sunday school class. If I remember correctly, the whole theme of the Sunday school quarterly is individuals, people that encountered Jesus Christ. Whether you realize it or not, you've heard that before. But it's like it's brand new. And you haven't heard it before. Because we as human beings have a terrible tendency to not remember things. And the older we get, the easier it is to forget. He's a woman. That's why it's renewed every morning. Mercy is renewed every morning. That means the Word of God can come alive to us every day. Hallelujah. That's why we've got to keep being in the house of God and keep being in the Word of God. And the admonition from Paul was, read this epistle, read the other epistle, let that epistle be read over there. In other words, it was all the churches because they needed the teaching and the training. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Hallelujah. But the reality of this is why we must assemble. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So we see that God's Word is our life source. God's Word is what is going to keep us pressing towards that mark, that prize, that high calling of God, which is going to keep challenging us and helping us stand against the sin. Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, that's why we gather together. That's why we preach God's Word. That's why we teach God's Word. That's why we testify about what God's done in our lives, because we've got to be casting aside weights.
Waits.
What does that word speak to you? Waits. These Royal Rangers and commanders went on and some of the men of the church went on a camping trip. And they were instructed how to pack their backpacks with everything they were going to need in case of an emergency that you just had to cancel. That backpack, if my memory serves me right, Brother Lucas's backpack probably weighed about 30 pounds. Now, everybody else's may not have weighed that much. Sometimes Brother Lucas does it overkill. All right, I didn't do it. If I got stranded somewhere, I want to make sure I had everything I was going to need to make it. But it's gone. Now, they knew they were going to be stranded, so that's why everybody didn't pack their backpack to 30 pounds. But you know, I'm impressed with Sister Pepper. Because she carries this around all the time. You like to carry that around for a while. Yeah, weight. Now, if that was mine, it wouldn't weigh that much. Because I would cast aside some of the weight that I didn't need in there. Now, if I was going hiking, I wouldn't be carrying Brother Lucas's backpack. I would cast aside some of the weight out of it that I didn't need, and I would take the bare necessities that I could make it. I would lighten the load so I could run or walk farther and do more. This is what the Bible is trying to admonish us and get us to understand. Hey, if you want to be on fire for God, then there are some things that you're going to have to put aside so you can pray more. There are some things you're going to have to put aside so you can read God's Word more. There are some things you're going to have to put aside so your mind doesn't get cluttered and so mucked up with everything except God's Word and God's will and God's way. And so there's weights that's got to be cast aside, things that are dragging me down. I've got to realize, hey, this is what's dragging me down. This is what I got to set aside, lay aside. The Bible doesn't say you can't carry it later. It just says lay it aside. That means that weight still can be there, but you're going to have to lay it aside if you want the victory. Lay it aside if you want power in your life. Lay it aside. In other words, use and exercise wisdom that God sends down from above and says, if you lack it, ask for it, and He will liberally pour it out upon you. But if you don't use wisdom to lay it aside, it was in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Many times do we cry out for victory, but we won't lay aside the thing that is causing us the lack of victory. Woo! God of heaven, that's what we've got to understand. That's why we're assembling together, so that we can have courage and be encouraged to lay those things aside and be more than a conqueror. Be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Be a prayer warrior. Glory to God. Be used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Pray through. Hallelujah. To where you can hear the voice of God and be sensitive to the Spirit of God and be obedient to the Spirit of God. But if your mind's always on that video game you want to play, and if you're too tired to stay awake in church because you played games all night, my friend, you ain't going to have the victory.
I'm sorry,
but I shouldn't do that. My friend, you're not going to have the victory.
I don't know if you play video games or not, Brother Matthew, but if you play them all night and you're tired all day, that's dumb. I'm sorry.
I mean, come on now. Hallelujah.
Anybody knows that if you stay up all night, you're going to be a deadhead the next day. And the older you get, the worse that it is. Woo! You just can't stay up that late when you get older because you'll be runt for 2 days instead of one. Woo! Lay aside. Lay aside. Go ahead and go to sleep. You can get up in the morning and then play your game. I'm not telling you you can't play your game, but be wise. Be wise. Lay it aside if it's causing you to lose out with your spirituality with God. And then when you get spiritual, pick it back up and you'll realize that ain't that important. Woo!
Why wouldn't it be that important? Because now you're spiritual and you realize what it was really doing to you. That is one thing Brother Moss always told us. We were growing, young in the Lord. He said, if you feel like God's talking to me about something, and to lay something aside, he said, go ahead and lay it aside for 7 days. After 7 days, if you go ahead and pick it back up without feeling guilty and without God saying, you don't need that. He said, it's okay, don't lay it aside. But after that 7 days, you realize that's what you needed to lay aside. He said, leave it there. So if when in doubt, just lay it aside anyway. It ain't going to hurt anything. It won't hurt anything to miss a meal either. We don't like to miss meals because we like to eat. Amen. That's another story and that's another message. Praise God. I'm talking about being assembled together. Woo. Glory to God. Laying aside the weight. Oh, wow. Weight. Hello. Praise God. And the sin was just so easy to set us. And notice the terminology us. Paul was talking about something that everybody is going to battle. The sin. This sin that he's talking about. And the sin. This is not a specific sin. I don't want to try to interpret it as one single sin that he's talking about. No. He's talking about whatever it is that keeps you from believing God. Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Three different things. But they're not faith, are they? And so, if it's not faith, it's sin. That's what we got to understand. Faith produces works. Faith produces actions. Faith produces actions over excuses. Woo. That's a good message. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, here we are. This is why we assemble ourselves together, so we can hear preaching like we're hearing him. This is why we assemble ourselves together, so we can be woke up, that our eyes can be opened, that we can realize, wait a minute here, I've got some things going on here that are really actually pulling me away from God, and I've got to move aside so I can get closer to God. So we see this is why we assemble ourselves. Are you getting the picture tonight? I hope I'm painting a picture tonight of why we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because if we do, then we'll just keep going on away. Have you ever wondered why, in your mind, why did somebody backslide? There's only one reason that I can comprehend or understand that someone will backslide. It is because they are not going forward. They forsake the assembling of themselves together with the saints. Hang on a minute. That doesn't mean they don't show up to church. That doesn't mean they forsake in going to church. Have forsaken the assembly with the saints in the presence of the Holy God. Because you can backslide on a church pew if you just don't get in when God's moving. What is that? You've actually forsaken the assembling of yourselves together in your heart. In your heart. You know, a lot of times only the heart that matters, and they are 100% correct. Because if your heart's right, you're going to live right. Woo! If your heart's right, you're going to forsake sin. If your heart's, yeah, it's the heart that makes the difference. They don't realize that when they're making that statement, they don't understand the statement they're making. Because if your heart's right, your life will be perfect. You'll walk together with the saints of God in the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. And you'll want the Spirit of God speaking to you about weights. And you'll want the Spirit of God speaking to you about sin. You'll want the Spirit of God encouraging your heart to verse, now we made it to verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Whoa. Right here's where the battle's won. You've got to look to Jesus and get out of yourself. And don't pull this poor, pitiful me. Because you're not looking to Jesus when you do that. You're looking to yourself. Yeah, you see, that's why we have got to assemble ourselves together, because there is no reason in the whole wide world for the mind frame to be more pitiful. What is that? That means you're not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have no reason to be down, discouraged, and disappointed. Look up. Look unto. Draw nigh all the promises we have in Him.
Hallelujah. This is why we assemble ourselves together. Because if we don't look unto Jesus and move into His presence, we'll get discouraged. We'll get despair. We'll get into that poor, pitiful guy with all the three eyes, the only one eye, can't do anything.
Hello.
Is that? That is nothing but selfishness, and you want somebody to do it for you. All you have to do when you get to something like that is look to Jesus and enter into His presence and go into His presence. And that sin will fall off, because you've got to realize, don't misunderstand me, as time is beginning, there's times every time it gets in despair and just gets wanting to give up and think there's no way we can overcome. But then realize what I just said. It's before me. It's not you. It's not Christ. It's the enemy. Recognize it's the enemy. Look, I'm Jesus, the author and the finisher. Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit of God is moving in the house of God, no sin or no need will get to this area of all the altar area and pray through. Hallelujah. Leave it. Cast aside that weight. Leave it behind and move on to higher ground in Christ Jesus. That is why the Spirit of God moves in the house of God, so you and I can move to a higher plane and become more conscious. Thank you.
word, God Almighty, shall be heard. The perfecting of the saints is that renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. Getting the right mind frame, the right attitude of who you are and who your God is. Hallelujah. Does God ever fail? When do I fail? When I'm not listening to God. Does God never fail? Of me and my relationship with God. And if I don't want to fail anymore, then I've got to get a stronger relationship than I've ever had in my entire life. And if I don't want to fail anymore, then I've got to get a The grace of God is a wonderful thing. And by His grace, we are saved. And by His grace, we are become. And by His grace, we are transformed. Everything about our Christian life is God's grace. As we walk humbly with our God, realizing that every part of our spiritual growth more of his character, more of his nature,
hear about it, preach about it, talk about it. He wants us to experience His presence there. And that's why He's doing it continually. Because that's how you learn how to find Jesus. You learn by repetition. You learn by practice if you will. You learn by defining yourself as speaking to the Spirit of God.
holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need.